The Pasha of Noach that you have in front of you, the entire Pasha, but the bits and pieces of the Pasha. So when we read the Pasha, actually, we have the impression, especially the first Pasha, it's in the upper right-hand corner. Ela told us Noach, Noach is Sadiq, Tomim HaYom Adarosa. Wow. Esa Elohim is Salaf Noach. You have here, first of all, the word Noach is found three times, which also requires explanation, but I'm not focusing on that right now. I'm focused on how the Torah describes Noach. Ish, Tzadik, Tomim Hayab Darosa, Eser Elohim Salach Noach. What could be better? Here we have a description of almost an ideal kind of personality. Someone that clearly is of a first-rate nature. As a matter of fact, the last Pasuk of Bereishis, which I didn't cite here, I should have, but I didn't, but the Pasuk says that the Torah describes at the end of Pasha's Bereishis how the situation was rather sad. Bayar Hashem, ki rabo ra'asa adam ba'aretz v'chol yetzem achshiros libo rak rak ol hayom. And Hashem, literally, the Torah says, "Vayinochem Hashem ki yasar es adam ba'aretz." Hashem is despondent. Vayisatzei v'libo. Vayom Hashem emche es adam Hashem barosim yaltrei adamo miyodim abeim avem es yarov ha-shamoim ki nichamti ki yasitzim. Literally, Hashem is disconsolate, despondent over the fact that created the world. However, there's one Baruch Hashem favorable item that remains. V'noach matzachem b'nei Hashem. The last pasuk of Bereishis in Pasha Bereishis, Noach matzachem b'nei Hashem. So here in the Torah, in the very beginning of Pasha Noah continues on that vein. And yet, as you undoubtedly know, there is a famous Rashi, and Rashi comments on, quoting the Gemara Sanhedrin, on this first pasuk, where the Torah says, Tomim Hoya B'Darosa, and there are many, many Dibri Chazal. Chazal, as Rashi indicates, Yesh Dorshin L'Gnai, Yesh Dorshin L'Shevach. There are those who see Noach in a positive way, and those who see Noach in a negative way. But this pasuk, at least the text, seems to be pretty clear, pretty explicit, that Noach, obviously, as I mentioned, finds favor in the eyes of Hashem. Number two, he's a clear tzaddik. Tomim Hoya B'Darosa, Eser Elohim Yisalach Noach, he's walking with Hashem. So Chazal have a number of statements to make. Number one, the pasuk says, Tomim Hoya B'Darosa, which already there's a makom l'dayek. What does that mean, B'Darosa? Say Chazal, Lefi Doro Hoya Tzaddik. In his generation, he was a tzaddik. But had he been in the door of Avraham Avinu, the Lashon of Chazal is striking. Lo Hoya Nechshav L'Klum. Wow, what a statement. He would be nothing. Striking statement. Beyond that, here in Perek Zion, here this pasuk you do have actually, Noach ends in the Teva, and the Torah says that Noach, and notice I just want to be medayik in the psukim, I underline a few psukim. Let's say the beginning, Yud Gimel. Hashem tells Noach, Ketzko basar balafanai, ki malah haaretz chamas m'dehem, there's too much chamas around. Correct? That's what chamas means, that's the Gemara. I was alluding to another group of people. They reign here in the Middle East. But anyway, so Hashem tells Noach, Aseh lecha tevas atzigofer, to create a teva. And what he should do, and then the description of the teva, and pasuk yud, I didn't underline it, Vani inni may be mabul, mayim al aretz, Hashem is going to bring a mabul to destroy all living beings, kol Hashem baratz yigbo, except for Noach, and bring it to the teva. Hashem directs whom he should bring it to the teva, and the Torah says chav beis, Vayas Noach kol Hashem tzivo osor, elokim kein osor. Very striking, the Torah repeats this a number of times. Noach carries out the Dvar Hashem exactly as he's told. Continue. Next pair. Vayom Hashem Noach. Bo ato v'chol beis v'al ha-teva. Go into the ark. Ki oschor ra'isi tzadik l'fanai b'ador hazeh. Wow. But notice again, what's the diuk? Tzadik l'fanai b'ador hazeh. Again, paralleling what I said earlier. Tamim hoya b'ador osa. And then he tells him what to do, whom to take. And another 7 days, pasuk dalet. V'yamim mo shiva anochim amtir la'aretz. There's going to be a mabul arba'im yom rabim loyla. Umachisi eskola yikum asher asis me'apnei adama. There's a famous, I call it actually a joke. When the Reform movement began, what did they do? They decided to make emendations in the Siddur and other kinds of emendations as well. Tikkunim, they call them. So first they eliminated Yikum Purkan. How many times do we say Yikum Purkan on Shabbos? There are two. So first they eliminated the first. And then they decided the second one should go as well. And so they said, and then this pasuk, Umachisi eskola yikum asher asis apnei adama. Pretty bad joke. Anyway, let me just get to my point. Vayas Noach kol asher tzivo Hashem. Again, Noach carries out, pasuk gay, that which Hashem told him to do. And then it tells him, Noach was 600 years old. V'amabuh ha'yo ma'im ha'aretz. And then again, Pasuk Gimel, Yavol Noach, uvana v'ishto v'shem v'itol ha'teva, v'nei me'amabuh. So here Chazal have a comment, a critique of Noach on this Pasuk. Why did he go into the Teva? Because of the waters of the Mabul. Say Rashi. Rashi quotes a Medrash Chazal on this Pasuk. What does it mean, v'nei me'amabuh? Af Noach mitami amunah ha'yo. He also was lacking in his amunah. Ma'amin v'eino ma'amin. On the one hand, he believed in the Mabul. On the one hand, he didn't believe in the Mabul. Below Nichnas the Teva, he didn't enter the ark. Atshe the Chaku Amayim, till the waters were basically about to inundate the entire earth, so he had no choice, no Brera, and that is the Medir from the Pasuk, Nenei Me'am Babu. So, what's very fascinating, as I said, on the one hand, when you read the Psukim, and you see that the Torah goes on to describe, looking Pasuk Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, I underline them, Vayia Geshem, Al Aretz, Aboyim Yom, Aboyim Loila, Vietzam Ayom Azeb, Bon Noach, Vashem, Vachamayas, Benin Noach, they go into the Teva. And then on the bottom we have, of course, after the Mabul, Noach is told to leave the Teva, and he does so. So what's very fascinating is that we see that the Chazal apparently, with reference to Noach, even though the Torah explicitly describes his righteousness, which is finished the point, but the Gemara indicates that there are apparently remozim, that Chazal apparently had issues with Noach, ad kedei kach, where the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, out of Kuf Chesem and Aleph, there's a Gemara that says, that Rabbi Shmuel said that the Gzar Din of the Dor HaMabul was really going to apply to Noach as well. However, Noach was somehow saved because Matzah Chayim B'nei Hashem. The word Noach and the word Chayim, the two letters of course transposed. That's the W Yadu, that's found in Svarim. So apparently Chazal, for whatever reason, had some prejudice against Noach and they felt the need to critique Noach. And the question is why? The Pesukim indicate clearly that the man is a tzaddik. That the man is Matzachei Me'ni Hashem. That the man finds favor in the eyes of Hashem. We don't see in the text of the Pesukim itself, when I just showed you the text, doesn't indicate any gnai, any reason to critique Noach. Why did Chazal feel that somehow Noach, shall we say, is deserving of critique? And that's what I would like to discuss. One of the items I want to discuss. Yes?
Why did Noach's sons deserve to be saved if it doesn't say that they were saved?
Again, we have no reason to assume at this point in time anyway that his sons were different than he was. The Torah does not indicate any character trait relating to Noah's children with the exception of what happens later on, which of course we know. Take a look here on the left-hand column starting to Vayibnei Noach, Ayotz Min HaTeva, Shem Lucham V'Yefes. I could discuss this also, but it will probably be another 4 hours from now. But that's why I'm not going to do it because I didn't plan on that right at the moment. If you wish, you'll get me. And I'll be glad to talk to you about it. But at this point, we have no reason to assume that Noach's children are any markedly different than he is.
And also when it says that Noach was a tzaddik in his generation, meaning just for that generation he was a tzaddik, that could mean like he could have not even done anything good in his life. It seems like this generation was full of people who, you know... Like
that's exactly what Chazal apparently had in mind. And economics, it's exactly what Chazal had in mind, that, as you know, tzidkis is also a relative... kind of concept, depending on where you are and whom you are, and relative to other people, relative to the ethos, generation that you live in, and economy. 100% correct what you're saying. That's what Chazal probably assumed. Yeah.
How could Noach not have Amunah in the flood coming if he already talked to Shem about the flood coming and about building the boat?
You're asking an excellent question. A tremendous question. And what is the answer to that question? The answer is there are different levels of Amunah. Just like there are different levels of Nevuah, there are different levels of Emunah, there are lower levels of Emunah, higher levels of Emunah. Of course, our object is to come to the highest level of Emunah that we possibly can, where we literally, totally, and completely are subject to Hashem Yisbarach, to His Ashkocha, to His directives, and the like. But he had the fact that Noach is a Navi. You know why he's a Navi? What's the definition of a Navi? Someone who speaks to Hashem? That's a Navi. Nif Svasayim, that's the Olav Rishonim, right? And someone who communicates with Hashem, he's a Navi. So here we're talking about a Navi who talks to Hashem, and yet, Miktani Emunah. So the answer is, there are different levels of Nevuah, and different levels of Emunah. That's the Rambam. It's clear. Rambam, Rishonim said very clearly. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, at one point, the Rashi comments, Moshe Rabbeinu was a novice at the very outset of his career. And then little by little, Nevi'im grow. That's how the Rambam describes in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, Perek Zayin, the Rambam on the Nevuchim talks about that a person does not overnight, you don't conquer Mount Everest overnight, correct? You don't conquer the Himalayas overnight. It's a process. It's a, shall we say, step-by-step kind of process. And that's what Chazal see in Noach.
But he had the Muna, he had the Muna to build the boat for however long he built it.
That's true.
He was like, I don't
I'm going to get to that also in a few moments, hopefully. But I'm just saying that even though, again, that Noach carried out all the tzibui of Hashem's Baruch, I just showed you two psukim. He's very obedient, very submissive to Hashem's Baruch. But somehow there's something here that indicates that something is not in order, and we'll get to that in one moment. Yeah.
Why is the whole fact that he's only inside a generation looked at as like a bad thing? It could be looked at as like it's relative.
I mean, again, just like I'll use another example. Yira Shamayim. There are two types of Yira. Rishonim said this. There's one what's called Yira Saonesh, fear of punishment. That could very well be. That's what he had. He was frightened that Hashem was going to bring a Mabul. I better get into the table quickly. And I better protect myself, as that's a human, a natural kind of response that people want to protect themselves from, God forbid, from any onslaught, from any punishment. And that, but that's not the highest level of Yira, which is Yira Saromus. The person has Yira Hashem because you recognize the greatness of Hashem is Barach and the like. The same thing applies even to Yira for a parent, or Yira for a great Talmud Chacham, for a great Rebbe, that you could have Yira Saromus, you're afraid he's going to punish you. Even though, obviously, a parent can't punish a child that much. Maybe it's a young child, perhaps yes. But an older child, clearly not. But Yira Saromus means you recognize that they have certain virtues and qualities and the sending of Hashem is Barach, a great Talmud Chacham, a great Golub HaTorah. That you can have a certain kind of Yira, let's say, respect for him. But on the other hand, the ideal is to have a Yira Saromus to see the greatness of the person, of their character, their personality, of their learning, prowess, etc., etc. So, I mean, it's possible, again, that there are levels. Actually, I'm trying to point out here, different levels. Yeah, okay, I just say if you have... I don't mind all these questions, but I won't be able to do anything. Go ahead, yes.
Yeah, so the Rashi that quotes the Medrash of Bina is comparing to Avraham Avinu. So why Davka Avraham Avinu? And also, he's changing the Lashon of the Medrash. It's supposed to be Shimon and Moshe.
I'm not sure the second part of the question. That
somebody,
is,
somebody pointed out to me that the Lashon of the Medrash is that Shmuel and Moshe.
I have to check. I didn't check the Medrash. So I will have to do so. As far as Avraham Avinu, the answer to that question, I believe, lies in, again, another...
It's the Lashon of Pesukim.
What was that?
It's the Lashon of the Pesukim of Avraham Avinu.
Namely?
As in, they can compare the Pesukim of Noach.
Excellent. Here it says in the Pasuk, Esel, Kim Yisalach Noach. And what does it say about Avraham Avinu? Yisalach Lofanai Vayeg Tomim. Similar Lashon, that's why it's Avraham Avinu. Right? Excellent.
I've heard a couple boards.
What?
I've heard a couple boards, like...
I'm sure there are more than one word, but the simple pshat is based on the psukim. I think what I just said a second ago is correct. What Rabbi Yonah just said is correct. Here the Lashon is Eser Elokim Hisalech Noach. By Avraham Avinu it says Hisalech Lefanai Ve'yeh Tomin. So it looks like here, Eser Elokim Hisalech Noach, that's a secondary or tertiary kind of response. He's not the and one who initiates the Halicha. Mashen Kein, Avraham Avinu, Hisalech Lefanai. He walks in front of Hashem. And there are a lot of rise to this. But again, that's not my my theme right now. I just want to indicate, I heard from Rabbeim, came out all of them, across the board, that the prejudice that Chazal had towards Noach is derived from what happened after the Mabul. Upon leaving the Mabul, what does Noach do? He does two things. I'm not going to read them. Something now, but you can see on the bottom of the page here, on the right-hand column, Vayim Noach was back Hashem. First he offers a korban, and then of course, right after that, on the upper side of the page, Noach also begins to repair the world that was destroyed. What does he do? The pasuk says, "Look in the pasuk, it says, 'Vayochel Noach isha adama vayitakorim.'" And what does that happen? What does that lead to? The word "vayochel," by the way, is a fascinating word. Chazal have a lot to say about it. "Vayochel," Rashi says, "is lashon chulin." Lashon chulin means he did something secular. What did he do? He planted a vineyard, and then the Torah describes what happened. He drank from the wine. He got drunk, and then he's uncovered in his tent, and then of course we have the reaction of the three sons, which needs a separate shiur. Maybe I'll get to a little bit of it, but I doubt it. But anyway, the kitzur, what happens is the Torah describes here that somehow an event that aroused the ire of Chazal. Somehow Chazal saw what happened over here as something which is absolutely unconscionable. Rashi at the spot, you don't have Rashi in front of you, but I'm citing to you Rashi. Rashi says that it seems that this he should have busied himself with other kinds of crops. Namely, he should have planted olives, he should have planted tomatoes, oranges, Israeli tapuzim, or something along those lines, as opposed to dafka, grapes, where he became inebriated, becomes drunk, because someone who's a tzaddik should not be lying uncovered and drunk. And again, there are other interpretations of Chazal, but the question, of course, is what is the... what is exactly the prejudice of Chazal see here? Why is there such a difficulty? So this Mikitsur, what I heard from Kimat Omar Rabbeim in the last many, many decades ago, to them it was Pashut that Noach failed to understand the lesson that the Gemara has actually in sight at the very beginning of the Abbez Medal. The Gemara points this out. Also, Gemara in Brachas, with the Gemara on Samach Gimel. The Gemara points out in Brachas on that Samach Gimel. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that there are two Pashas in Chumash that are juxtaposed. There are a lot of Pashas that are juxtaposed. But the Gemara said the Pasha of Nazir is juxtaposed to that of Saita. I don't know if you are familiar with that, but it's not the end of the world. If you're not, no, it is the end of the world. But anyway, Pasha of Naso, there's a Pasha of Nazir and there's a Pasha of Saita. Why is there two? Why are these two Pashas found together? So the Gemara says that to teach you that someone who sees a Sota is a woman who's accused of adultery. She's unfaithful to her husband. There's a whole Pasha, what has to be done with a woman is a Sota. So someone actually who sees a Sota, Binivula in her disgrace, Yazir Asman Ayah, he should abstain from wine. Rashi quotes it, and Rashi explains that because somehow there's something about alcohol that can lead to forbidden sexual relationships. That's what Rashi seems to connect it to. And a person who sees a Sota in her disgrace should be shocked to the point of taking a neder to abstain from wine in order to distance himself from the possible negative effects of wine. Let me just finish the point. Now, the point is very nice and dandy what Rashi says. However, as I said, there's a simple pshat, and that is, of course, as you know, that wine has a dual element to it. On the one hand, Chazal say, Ein omim shira ela yayin. If you know the Gemara in Brachas, you probably know the beginning of Ketzim Avarchim, Gemara points this out a few places in Shas. That shira is always said on yayin. Give me an example that where you have shira that you say on yayin. Like Friday night, Kiddush. When we say Kiddush, excellent. Oh. Baruch Hashem, Hashem should bless you.
Mila.
What else?
Mila.
Bris Mila, excellent. Bris Mila, question where the Shira is up there, and why it requires Yayin, where else? Because Amazon is, even though when a person does Zimun, it's a Hidur mitzvah. It's not Ma'akev, Azesh Ten Shemonach. It's a Gemara actually like that, it's a Mechav Shemonach, but it's a good thing. Whenever I do Zimun, I do it ala kos. But I actually drink grape juice. I know you would not be in agreement with my position. But whatever the case is, I think I mentioned a few times, the only time I drink wine is actually twice a year. I drink wine on Purim, because the Gemara in the Gila of Avzayim, the Gemara says, Chai Vodon Vipsumi Bepuraya. The person is supposed to get perfume on Purim. Rashi says, Mishtaka Bayayim. That's what Rashi says. But I am Mishtaka by doing what the Ramah said. Ramah said, you drink more than a daily mudo. More than what you're normally accustomed to, because a Rambam, and I usually drink about a milliliter of wine, which is about this amount, and then I drink a bit more than that, and then go to sleep in the kind of mitzvah Ad Lo Yoda, which is in the Megillah, and the Zayin, and the Machaber Shemonach, as then I drink wine. But what kind of wine do I drink? What they call Yayin Kal. And you would laugh at it. My Balabatim call it Reit Davasa, red wine. Like the redheaded lady. Anyway, the kids are so the Sherlock Holmes. Sorry. Anyway, all these are buzzing. Anyway, so the point being that, and also another time I drink wine is on Chol HaMoed. Every day of Chol HaMoed I drink wine because Gemara says Ein Simcha L'Vasa V'Yayin, and therefore I drink wine as well on Chol HaMoed. Every single day I drink a Revias of Yayin. I am to like Moscato. I don't know, you probably don't call that wine. No, that's that Gazol Batanura. Thank you. That's what I drink. Revias of that, and that's why I'm kind of mix of Shira. Kiddush, you mentioned Bris Mila. When else do we have him? Abdullah, of course. Question: what's the connection? Okay, that needs a separate shiur, but I'm just indicating a lot of shiur, a separate shiur I need. But what can I do? Can I just finish my point? And that is that. So you see that on the one hand, wine actually is something which is clearly yayin yisamach av avenosh. It gladdens a man's heart. Wine is something which elevates a person's spirits. It brings simcha, it brings joy, it brings maybe inner psychological strengths. It frees you for a lofty purpose. It elevates you to heights of nectar and ambrosia, maybe along those lines, whatever the case is. But that's on one hand. So obviously drinking wine is a good thing. On the other hand, there are some other elements to wine that could lead to, shall we say, Ahmad al-Tzan, a state of destitute. That means not the highest kind of state. Wine can be a path to kalus rosh, to lightheadedness, to aveira. There are frivolous people who drown all their sorrows in wine. Or any other kind of, shall we say, liquor or beverage, whatever it may be. You know, a person has to recognize that wine can either enhance my spiritual state, or Rachmana Litzlan, it can bring about a disintegration of my moral framework. It can actually, it's a fine line. And the question is, how do you go about? And so that's why, in effect, Hazal compare the Nazir, of course, what is a Nazir? A Nazir is he takes a nether not to drink wine, among the many things that a Nazir is not allowed to do. And the Gemara said that if he sees a Sota, that means that she, whatever she did it impulsively, and she did it without realizing there are boundaries in the world. We have to abide by boundaries. And maybe someone also who drinks a lot of wine, it also can cross boundaries, and as a result, it can be, Rahman al-Islam, it can self-implode, and it can be destructive. It can be wanton behavior that results. We're not unaware of this. What's very fascinating is I was at a chasana the other night. Actually, I was at two. I was at three simchas. I didn't feel well. It was two nights ago. But I had to go three simchas, and so I went. I had to be at a chuppah. And then I didn't feel well, so I just more or less stayed outside. I was right near the bar. What a fantastic perspective. So my wife was inside, and she was, Baruch Hashem, enjoying herself, thank God. And I was not in a good state. I just wasn't feeling well. Chlal. Had fever, everything. But I was there, and I was right next to the bar. Now, the bar had a pyramid of, I actually counted the number of bottles that were there. About 100 bottles in pyramidal structure. Very beautiful. And then I sat there for about an hour and 50 minutes, and in an hour and 50 minutes, all 100 bottles were drunk. Came out of all. And who was drinking? Literally, Miyakotin Aragon. There were children, I'm not exaggerating, children who were about 8 or 9 years old were drinking. I'm happy you are raising your eyelashes.
Welcome to Eretz Yisrael.
Welcome to Eretz Yisrael. Let me tell you a story about Chutz Laretz. I'm at a Shabbos Kiddush in Chutz Laretz. And came out, the same thing was operative over there, except there were more than 100 bottles. And they were gone in about 2 hours. I had to be there. I was beside the Kedushin for this Chasidah, and they had to go for Shabbos, and I was there on Shabbos. They invited me, and wow, I said to myself, wow. Quite impressive. So, I'm simply indicating, let me just say the point, that the world that Noah had seen, a world that became corrupt, was full of Hamas, as we mentioned before, when you pointed out Gezel, and all boundaries were gone, basically, and it was pure desire. And but Noach, he saw everything, and you would think that Noach should learn the lesson, and instead he did not. By Yochel Noach, so Chazal say, Rashi quotes it, Lashon Chulin. He made himself profane, and now he's lying naked and drunk in a tent without any consciousness, without self-control, and he didn't learn the lesson. So my first point here in this first part of the shir is to indicate that there's no question that on the one hand, there is a value. Chazal do not at all, and people make a mistake. There are people who think that I have to become a Nazir. I have to completely distance myself from wine. There's a Yushalmi. You know the Yushalmi. The Zil Sashor quotes the Yushalmi. The famous Yushalmi. That, lo dayecha mashos for Torah. Not enough the Torah. Asad you this and that. You want Asad. All things upon yourself. Hashem created wine and other good things in the world for us to enjoy. However, there has to be a sense of boundaries, a sense of discipline. And that's exactly what Noach apparently failed to understand, this lack of discipline. Go ahead. Yes, Rabbi Nayon.
It's kind of complicated to say that because I think this state, what he went through, and even after he got at the table, what he went through, being like, say, the only people in the world, that could make someone go crazy a little bit to the point where they want, to the point where they do these things that they wouldn't have done before.
Yeah, this statement is a beautiful statement. As always, this is my brother, Rabbi Niona. I hope you know him. There's Rabbi Niona who wrote the Shari Tshuva, and wrote many other Svarim, and Masechet Brachos, you probably know Brachos Rabbi Niona. He's my Rabbi Niona right here. He's going to be the next Rabbi Niona, Mitz Hashem. So I just want to point out the following, if I can, to you. That if you remember that there's a bracha that Hashem gives to Adam Arishon, and a bracha gives to Noach. What's the difference between the two brachas? Adam Arishon, he tells him, Pruvu Umilu Saretz, that he to be fruitful and multiply the earth. The second time that the bracha that's given to Noah, what does he say there? I think in Perek Tes. Beginning in Perek Tes, Pruvu Shirtzu V'aretz Ruvu Va. Means the first time he tells Adam Arishon, and the difference between two brachas is that the first time Hashem says V'kivshua. What does it mean V'kivshua? Pruvu Milos Aretz V'kivshua, to conquer the world. And the second time it said Pruvu Shirtzu V'aretz Ruvu Va. And those conquest has a Tzvei dinim to it. Conquest, on the one hand, can be used for good, but can be used for Rachman al-Sam, for destruction. So Hashem gives a bracha to other Rishon that hopefully he'll know how to make use of this characteristic. Now, following the Following the Mabul, again, Noach, undoubtedly, as you indicated correctly, was in a terrible state of depression. In fact, this Gemara in Sanhedrin, you remind me of the Hagos Ma'amon, is called this Gemara, and Sfadim actually followed this Gemara. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Lo Nivra Yayin, El Nachim Bo Sabelim. You know why wine was created? For Nichol Avelim. Sfadim are very makbid to drink wine in Nichol Avelim. Because wine lifts up the present spirits. I mean, after Rahman Nisan Avelus, it's a pretty sad situation, unfortunately, and tragically. And you need something sometimes to lift your spirits, and wine does the job. So the Gemara says, "L'nivra yayin nachem ba'savelim." So Sfadim have a practice; they drink wine during the chamavelim. That's what they do. So Noach was an obel. What was he? That's what Rabbi Yonah is pointing out. He was an obel over what? The destruction of the earth. And so now he went ahead and used wine. But again, as I said, the mistake was that he didn't understand there was no room for this planting following the total destruction of a corrupt world that was full of Hamas, full of Gezel, lost its level-headedness. A world cannot be built on the foundation of wine without establishing boundaries. Without establishing a sense of discipline and morality, that's exactly what the Torah, in fact, or the Chazal apparently critiqued Noach because he didn't have that sense of balance. That's
all
I'm saying.
How can you then draw that back to what it was before? If anything, I think the Vayechal here would almost be saying that, like, he wasn't like this before, and now he's Vayechal. As in, like, post everything that happened, he became like Davar Kol.
So it's kind of rare that you're right. I'm not saying that you are not. The problem is again that I said that. His downfall was connected specifically, Dafka, to wine. But the fact is that even though one could have understood why he Dafka planted a vineyard, as you indicated, as you intimated, at the same time, that's exactly what the Torah is trying to tell us. That not that we should, chas v'shalom, disdain the pleasures of the world. On the contrary, it's also to disdain. To become an ascetic is not something that we, A-S-C-E-T-I-C, to refrain and withdraw from the world is not an ideal at all. There were people who had this monastic kind of behavior, who essentially belonged in monasteries. That's not what Chazal, that's not what the Torah wants us to do. The Torah wants us to enjoy the world, to have enough of what Hashem created, all the pleasures of the world as well. But again, in due measure, it has to be done in a fashion where it's, shall we say, within the bounds of what's considered to be appropriate and the like. And that's not a simple thing, by the way. You are probably alluding to the fact that it's not a simple thing. All of us have to find ways to find a balance in our lives. But I want to mention another element of Noach, which Chazal also indicate, and this you probably are also aware of it. I'm sure you're not it's not a chiddush to you, this idea. There's a pasuk here, if you look at Yeshayo, which happens to be the Haftarah of this week, look at the lower left-hand corner, Ki Menoach Zosli, Hashem Nishvati Mi'avor Menoach Od Al Haaretz. You know what the Navi calls the Mabul? Menoach, the waters of Noach. So what did Chazal say? Rashi called it the Chumash. That it was Noach who was responsible for the Mabul. Why? He should have what? He should have done. For the daughter to do tshuva, he should have done much, much more than he did. And he did not do so. As a matter of fact, there's an expression in Yiddish, which is often common expression, Noach, Tzadik mit pelts. You ever heard that expression? A tzadik with a fur coat means a fur coat. He uses to warm himself, but he's not too concerned about everybody else. That's called. You familiar with the expression? Tzadik mit pelts. So why are you, shall we say, smirking?
My brother talks so much Yiddish, so I feel like I hear like so many different Yiddish songs. That.
Well, he's a yeshivish fellow.
Yes. You can put it that way.
He is very okay. Much, yes. Where does he learn?
Yishtor.
Wow, Baruch Hashem. Hashem should bless him. Alabai, you should be zochet to the Eshat Torah as well. Rabban uses the expression Eshat Torah. Rabban was Chana. Tvei Dinim. There are two Pashas of Chumash. One day I'll talk about it. There's Pashas Yisrael and Pashas was Chana. The Shailu Rishayim is. Rabban Soloveitchik, Zatzal, asked this cash in the 60s. He said, El Shira, this is the term of Surah. So I happen to be there. Rabban. That's right. Anyway, his grandfather, Zatzal, was from the Menalim, the great Menalim of Termesura, Ben Yena. It's the truth, I can't lie. Anyway, so he said to Shia, why there are three Pashas? So basically what he answered was, the first Pasha is the, everything's Tzvei Dinim, as you know, risk. So the first Pasha of Yisrael deals essentially with Matan Torah and the objective, the normative elements of the Torah, while the Chanan speaks about the Eish HaTorah, the Lashon Ramban and Chumash. The Ramban Sefer HaMitzvah, you probably familiar with it, the Aseh, the Los Aseh, the Eish HaTorah. So, Baruch Hashem, I see your brother is in the Eish HaTorah mode. That's beautiful.
A little bit.
Halavai, you should become that way too. Amen. You have it in you already. You already have Eish. Your physiognomy is all Eish.
Oh,
So now I just have to get it inside your personality. Anyway, the Kitzur, so Chazal taking off the task. I was lucky to meet this young man with another fellow who was I was at the Chasana. Did you know that? At the third Chasana.
He
told you that? I met him and his wife and his son. He has a son in Mir Yeshiva. So I just met them this past Shabbos. And they told me I was they have a picture of me under the chuppah.
Yeah, I know they mentioned. I was trying to track that down, but they have it in America.
So maybe you'll get a hold of it and send me a copy. The Kitzur, anyway, so as I about 40 years ago, probably in that range. Anyway, so the I want to just say over on this issue about the Koach HaTfilah that Noach somehow, according to Chazal, was lacking. There was a great Torah giant named Avchatzkel Abramsky. Maybe they heard of the name. He's a mechaber of the Tosefta al Kol HaShas. He wrote a parish on the Tosefta and the entire Shas. And he was one of the Torah giants who was from post-World War II till his passing. He was one of the great Gedolei Yisrael. He actually was an Abbezin in London. Later years, he was a Rashiba in Slabodka. In Bnei Brak, he was just a giant of a personality. And he was down to, he was medactic in Torah Mitzvahs down to the minus detail. And he produced a sefer called Chazon Yecheskel, which is a magnum opus on Kol HaTosefta. Tosefta Brises that are collected on Kol HaShas. And he wrote a parish on the entire Tosefta on Shas. He was just an absolute giant. Now, he was exiled to Siberia by the Bolsheviks. And he was in Siberia. He spent about 2 years in the most unbearable conditions. And yet he never had a cold. So he asked, they asked him, how is it that you married such a nace that you never had a cold? I have a chaver who also claims he never had a cold in his life. Why? All day long, what is he doing? He takes what? What type of pills does he take to prevent colds?
Vitamins.
He's into vitamins to prevent. He's saying he never had a cold because he takes all these. He's popping vitamins, kol hayom, kol halayla. He claims he never had a cold. Yesh makom ladun bo, and there's also yesh makom ladun about his whether he's totally, shall we say, completely in his element. Okay, but that's a separate discussion. Anyway, but the whatever the case is, by the way, Rashi Mazal Roibach has a psak in Shmir Shabbos Gilchasa that even the refuah is also on Shabbos, as you know, mishum wa, mishum teiche, mzeira, shligas amamonim. But if I take something, I feel a cold coming on, and right away, what do I take? All these, what do they call them? Not just vitamins, it's a particular, I forgot what you take in order to prevent the cold from happening.
Vitamin C.
Vitamin C, correct. So mega doses of vitamin C. The guys are on mega doses of vitamin C. Call Yom Ba'alaylo. That's not called refuah on Shabbos. That's muta. Why? Because you're not yet a chayla. The Easter is for a chayla to take refuah. But if you're not yet a chayla, so you can take refuah. As they pass down, Shabbos Al-Roybach, Shmir Shabbos Gilosah. Very big chidush. Anyway, back over here. So they asked him, how come you never got a cold? So he answered that he came to Siberia and the conditions were miserable. It was freezing. And he said to Ribbono Shel there's a Gemara in Ksubas, the Gemara in Daflami. The Gemara says, "Hakol b'nei shamayim chutz mitzinim u'pachit." Everything b'nei shamayim, with the exception of what? Of colds. You get a cold. You know why you get a cold? You don't put on a sweater. You don't put on that beautiful what do they call this that you have on?
Hoodie.
Hoodie. Oh, I love that term. Anyway, so you know, hoodie. Anyway, so the used to call it a different term in my days. I forgot what they call it. Another word that described it.
A jacket.
A sweatshirt, that's a better term. There's another term also, I forgot the term. What?
A jumper.
Jumper. No, not exactly that. Okay, yeah. Okay, we're getting it. You'll find it out. You'll tell me the
Fleece, there you go.
Fleece, wow. So he said to the Rebbe Shalom that, so you know that everything is in your, this is in my hand, but what am I supposed to do over here? It's freezing cold. It's minus, I don't know what, minus 30 degrees. And I'm a threadbare kind of clothing. He said to Rabbeinu Shlomo, what am I supposed to do? He says, everything is heavenly. Everything is exempt from Hashem's brach, with the exception of a cold. And fevers, which a person can be bring about himself because of his carelessness, because of his, shall we say, reckless behavior, because he doesn't take care of himself. I should know about that. But anyway, that only applies to the Chatzal Abramsky, when a person is living in conditions that he has control. But if I'm in a condition, I have no control whatsoever. I'm in Siberia. What can be done? That means, what can I do? Anyway, what can I do? What can be done? So mainly, said Hashem Yisbarach, you take over that responsibility. Because of that, Avchatzkel Abramsky said, he never had a cold. He davened Hashem Yisbarach. So, wow, a simple, pure-hearted tefillah that came mitoch omek halev stands in stark contrast to whom? To Noach. To Noach Hazal Kritikim, that he emerged from the, there's a medrash. He comes out of the table, and Hazal say, he sees all the havoc, he sees all the destruction. You know, your president is having a glorious week. Why is it glorious? Because Ken Yerdu Kolaybecha Hashem. They got that guy. Whatever is it, Baghdalanian. They got him. And the guy was obviously in a bunker, I don't know what, protected, beyond protected. And now, therefore, Trump is a tzaddik yisadeilam, and obviously a malach Hashem tzvokos, and who knows what, and he did what he had to do. And so, why in heaven's name are the Democrats thinking of impeaching him, for goodness sakes? They're off their rocker. Look what I did. I got the guy. The mass murderer. Evil incarnate. Amalek. B'chulu b'chulu. And he's busy patting himself on the back of the Akabah Kedesh. Anyway, but whatever the case is, so I'm just pointing out that a Medrash. The Medrash says, he comes out of the table, he sees the destruction, and a Basco comes out of Hashemayim and says, "You foolish shepherd, why are you crying now? Where were you when I told you I'm going to bring a marble? Why did you cry and daven then?" Chazal, the Medrash. Well, the Medrash takes Noach to task for not doing what he should have done. So, and again, as I said, again, there's a story. The Gemara has actually in Ksubis. The Gemara has a very fascinating story. You probably read the Gemara at the end of Ksubis. So the Gemara tells about Rabbi Rav Nasi that before he, Rebbe, you know, Rebbe, the author of, what did he author? Mishnayos. All Mishnayos of Shas. I hope you're already waiting to learn the Mishnayos. It's a very good thing to learn Mishnayos. You should start with Brachos and go all the way to Uktzin, Mitz Hashem, the Karv. Man of your stature. I'm not joking. Hey. Like Shaul HaMelech, Mishich Mo Lamala, Gavon Mikoron. Tall and dignified. No? Oh, Hashem. So the Gemara said that he underwent a period of terrible suffering while fighting for his life. And he was not alone in fighting for his life. Chazal say, all Claudius were dabbing for Rabbi Yudan Nassim. They're trying that he should be, shall we say, and ultimately he was Nifter. But before the fact of his passing became known publicly, so there was an announcement. The Gemara says that an announcement was made. Anyone who says that Rebbe passed away, Kolomer Rebbe Meisi Doke Becharev, should be impaled with a charev, with a sword. What in heaven's name is? Well, why was there such an extreme decree declared because of the fact that someone makes an announcement that someone passes away? In general, this is a shaylin halacha. Can you announce that someone passed away? Well, the dharma of that, this needs a lot of gemaras to talk about this. So the Shin Kubetz is in Ksubas. The Shita has the following chiddush. The Shita says that, and they claim it's a Rashi. They call the name of Rashi, the following chiddush, which is remarkable chiddush, that as long as people did not know that Rebbe passed away, what would they continue to do? They continue to daven. They continue to daven that Rebbe should have a Rechus Yom, etc. And if they would continue to daven with tremendous kavana and great intensity, really asking Hashem's Baruch, the Rebbe should remain alive with them, although he already died, says the Shita, he could have been brought back to life. Wow. It could have been Tchias HaMeisim as a result of such tefillah. Had it been tefillah with unbelievable kavanah, with incredible kavanah. However, once the people hear that Rebbe died, they would obviously, they wouldn't believe that they could bring about his Tchias HaMeisim, his resurrection. And the Melech Shin Gubetzah says that they would stop davening, and then Rebbe would truly be gone. And it was basically anyone who announced it, Kalomi Rebbe Meis, Yidoka Becharev, he should be run through with a sword. Why? Because then the publicity would be the final cause of his irrevocable death. Wow. So, Rabbi Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that's how, said the following shmuz based on this Shin Gebetza, that's where I heard the Shita from, Rabbi Chaim Shmuel Levitz. He said, unbelievable chiddush, he said that, if you remember, Rashi, when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to, I keep taking this chumash, it's a ratio, it doesn't help me. But Rashi, there's a famous Rashi, the end of the Dvarim. Rashi comes, the end of the Dvarim, says something astounding. When Moshe Rabbeinu is about to prepare for his tira, so it says, by Davar Hashem Moshe, be'etzem ayom hazeh leimor. By the way, where else is the word be'etzem ayom hazeh found?
Mitzrayim.
Correct. Nebardim, where else in this week's Pasha? Mitzrayim, where else? Over here, Noach, be'etzem ayom hazeh. Excellent, a few places, excellent. So Rashi says that there were those among Klal Yisrael who were saying, Hashem is going to take Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to stop it. We're going to prevent him from dying. Rashi and Dvarim. Wow, what kind of statement is that? So Hashem says, no. Be'etzem ayom hazeh, he's going to die. Hashem says he's going to die, and no one will be able to stop him. How did Klal Yisrael think they're going to stop the Malach HaMavis? Aren't they crazy? You're going to stop the Malach HaMavis from doing what he did? So Abchaim said, you see, apparently, that Klal Yisrael thought that two tefillah we could literally overcome such a gzera of Hashem Yisbarach. In other words, it's shayach that tefillah, which emanates from the depths of a person's heart, has no limits. Absolutely no limitation. Except this is a gzera. And Rav Chaim told over the following story. I'll never forget this. He told over, let me just finish the story. He said in the Mir Yeshiva in the Six-Day War in 1967, he said that the yeshiva was at the edge. Anyone knows where the Mir Yeshiva is? That was actually the border. In 1967, that was the border of the divided city. And of course, they were within reach of the cannon and mortar shots of the Jordanian legionnaires. They were literally shooting mortars everywhere. Maybe you read about this? Perhaps not. Hopefully you will. I may be aware of the fact that where you're now living in Eretz Yisrael, there's something called the State of Israel. Maybe you're not aware of it. I hope you are. Anyway, Bekitzur, so people actually all came to the yeshiva's bomb shelter because there was nowhere else to go. They went to the bomb shelter of the Mir Yeshiva. That became the sort of the entire neighborhood was actually located there. And the people thought that this chus of the Rabbanim and the Torah that's being learned in the Mir Yeshiva will hopefully save, and Mitzvah Hashem would protect them. But Rav Chaim said there was something else that really was responsible for their protection. There was a shell that fell in the corner of the building, and the building was reeling from the impact of that shell, of those mortars, and they were saying tilim, and they were sure that they were going to be in a state of total destruction. And at that moment, so the I actually Xeroxed the piece that I saw it from. There was a cry that rang out from apparently a woman who had no much suffering at the hands of her husband who abandoned her and left her with, I don't know, a houseful of children to bring up single-handedly. And she screamed out after the mortar shells began to come out, Yibedi Shalom, I'm Meichelim, I'm Meichelim. I'm Meichelim, you be Meichel us. That's what she screamed out, this woman. Hashem is brought, she was talking. Who is she, Meichel? She was basically Meichel, her husband. That even though he was obviously a complete, a total, blankety-blank, let's just be polite. Beholden, she's Meichelim. She's not going to be Meichel, I'm Meichelim. You be Michael Asra. Chaim said, that tefillah that came from Omik HaLev had limitless power and saved the entire yeshiva and saved actually herself, her family, and all of Klal Yisrael. I couldn't make a statement like that, but Rav Chaim Shalev has made such a statement. I know basically a cry of pain and compassion, and this is something which is critical and we have to be cognizant of it and kind of aware. The Chazal feel that Noach, again, even though Noach undoubtedly, as Rav Yonah mentioned earlier, he came out of the Teva, having come out, groaning, tired, broken. Hazal commented on the lion that bit him. I mean, he had to go ahead and feed these characters all day and all night, 24/7. Probably this one wanted the dat smooth, and this one wanted the different hashkocha, and this one the rabbanut, and rabbanut b'hadrin. Have you heard that rabbanut? You heard him speak here a few weeks ago? The fellow with the kashrus, anybody heard him? Anyway, so... And this one wanted a certain type of tefillah, and this one only kippah from God, and this one kippah shorah, and a blue kippah like yours, and I don't know what, and a black one like that, and a beautiful one like yours. How in heaven's name can he maintain any kind of harmony? Shalom bayis in that entire place. The place was like a zoo, a veritable zoo. So he comes out of the noach, tzibachin and gansin, must make us, totally broken, completely. And it would seem that, and then he was a bit tardy, wants to give me the lion, the royal lion, its food, and he was bit, Rashi quotes it, Chazal. And yet, we see, as I said, Chazal seems to indicate, despite the hard work that Noach did, he's still taken to task for what? For not davening more sincerely and more profoundly than Peter should do tshuva. So there are two lessons I just want to, essentially, I was going to discuss other things, but I'm not going to. Lesson number one that's derived from this entire parsha. Namely, that Hashem created beautiful things in the world for us to enjoy. We're not supposed to be ascetic. We're not supposed to refrain from enjoying what Hashem created. On the contrary, but everything has to be done with balance, with measure, and with discipline kind of way. The Ramban writes, that's called Kadosh Tiyu. Kadosh Tiyu means Kadosh Atzmus of the Mutalach. Meaning, even things that are mutter to us, we have to do so with a sense of boundaries and the like. Second lesson is the Koach HaTfilah. Koach HaTfilah is so strong with Klal Yisrael that we don't even recognize sometimes the ability of tefillah literally to break down gzeros of Hashem Yisbarach and completely the Koach HaTfilah is something that Klal Yisrael is blessed with, especially tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur, the Koach HaTfilah b'tzibur. The Gemara says in Brachos, Dav Ches, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mayis B'tfilah Shel Abed. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not reject the tefillah of Klal Yisrael. It's so powerful and so overwhelming. Look what we can do. Okay, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, the Rishon said that that part that's saying that tefillah is limitless, but it can't uproot a gzera that was already made. But what about Moshe when he's davening 550 times, and Hashem said, oh, if you do it one more time, then you're going to uproot the Gzera.
That's all the Sheikh Zatzal. My Rebbe used to quote a Chazal, and not so many people are aware of. You quoted it, it's a famous statement. Moshe Rabbeinu voiced Chaman Tfilos, and Hashem said, Al Toysef Daber Elai Oyba Daber Azeh, don't you dare issue one more tefillah. You, Chazal Sina Medrash, had Klal Yisrael issued a tefillah on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gzera would have been revoked. That's again another proof to this Yisrael that I'm telling you over here. And the question is, why didn't Klal Yisrael do that? How do you explain that? Moshe Rabbeinu spent his whole life defending Klal Yisrael, intervening on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael could not issue a tefillah to help Moshe Rabbeinu get into Eretz Yisrael? Astounding. It's Tzorachim Godel. It needs a lot of attention. Why is it that Klal Yisrael did not do so? But you see, the Koach HaTefillah, again, it's another right to this Yisrael, that the Koach HaTefillah could have literally revoked the Gzera of Hashem Yisbarach regarding Moshe Rabbeinu not entering Eretz Yisrael. So there are two Yisraelis here. But I just want to mention one last thing, and that is that there was tremendous chesed that was done by Noach on the table. Unbelievable chesed. And the reason why is Hamas. Gezel is the opposite of chesed. What do I do with Gezel? I take something that doesn't belong to me. What do I do with chesed? I extend myself to other people to help them. And that is the tikkun for the Mila of Gezel. Is chesed, is pashtus, the way the Baal Tanya writes, the way the many, many Rishonim speak about chesed without any bounds, chesed, limitless chesed. And so in respect, we have here a lot of very significant lessons to be derived from the Pasha Noach that we have for them.